Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to take a sampler-based rack in Ableton Live 12 and clean it up so it stays punchy, controlled, and ready for that old-school jungle and DNB energy without chewing through your headroom. And that's the key idea here. We are not trying to make the sound weak. We're trying to make it disciplined. In drum and bass, the sounds that feel the biggest are usually the ones that are managed the best. If your rack is tight, your break can snap harder, your sub can stay solid, and your drop can hit with way more force. So think in energy bands, not just layers, but actual jobs. One layer is the pressure, one layer is the audible grit, and one layer is the rhythmic edge. If all three are fighting for the same space, the sound may feel huge for a second in solo, but in the full mix it usually collapses into mush. Let's build this in a practical way. First, load your source into sampler. This could be a bass stab, a Reese note, a chopped break slice, or even a resampled phrase from your track. Then inside your instrument rack, create three chains, sub, mid, and texture. This split is where the workflow really starts paying off. In jungle and old school DNB, one sound often has to act like three sounds at once. You need the foundation, the character, and the motion. Separating those roles makes the sound easier to control and much easier to automate later. Start with the sub chain. This one needs to be solid, short, and mono. On the source, use a low-pass filter to clear away anything unnecessary above the fundamentals. A good starting point is somewhere around 80 to 140 Hz, depending on the sample. Keep resonance low. Keep attack basically instant or very fast. And keep the release fairly short so the low end stops cleanly between notes. Then add utility after the sub and set width to zero. That keeps the sub fully mono, which is exactly what you want for club translation. If the source is already a bass sample rather than a pure sine style layer, use a QA to gently remove it extra mud, especially around 180 to 300 Hz if it starts getting cloudy. This matters a lot in DNB. A wide or overly long sub blurs the kick and break, and then the whole groove loses its bounce. The sub should feel like it's locking the track in place, not smearing it. Next, move to the mid chain. This is where the character lives. Keep the harmonic content, but clean the extremes. Use a Q8 and high pass somewhere around 90 to 150 Hz so the mid layer does not compete with the sub. If it feels boxy, dip a little around 250 to 450 Hz. If it gets sharp or brittle, tame the upper presence a bit around 2.5 to 5 kHz. Then add saturator. Start modestly, maybe 2 to 6 dB of drive, and turn on soft clip if the sound is spiky. The point here is not just to make it louder. The point is to bring out the harmonics so the bass speaks on smaller speakers and cuts through a dense break. If you want movement, add auto filter or a subtle filter device and automate it lightly. Small motions go a long way in jungle and rollers. You do not need giant obvious sweeps all the time. Often, tiny shifts over 8 or 16 bars create more tension than huge filter drama. Now the texture chain. This is your energy layer, not your loud layer. If the source is a chopped break, this chain should focus on transient bite and rhythmic motion. If it's a bass texture, it should add rasp, grit, and motion without taking over the low end. A good starting chain is a Q8 with a high pass around 150 to 300 Hz, then drum bus for a little crunch, then auto filter for movement. You can add a tiny bit of redux if the source can handle it, but use that carefully. The goal is texture and edge, not digital destruction for its own sake. And this is one of the biggest DNB lessons here. The ear hears power through contrast. If the texture layer is too loud, the bass feels smaller and the drums lose impact. So keep this chain lower than you think you need. Let it support the sound, not dominate it. At this point, map the most useful parameters to macros. This is what turns cleanup into performance. A strong set of macros would be sub-level, mid-drive, texture level, tone or filter cutoff, stereo width, release, break bite, and output trim. You want the important stuff right under your hands. That way, instead of opening three or four devices every time you want a variation, you can make musical decisions fast. That's a huge workflow win. For the sub macro, keep the range conservative. You usually do not want to push the sub above unity. For mid-drive, a range around 0 to 6 dB is often enough. For width, only map the mid and texture chains, never the sub. And for release, keep it tight for fast patterns, then longer for halftime or more atmospheric sections. Now let's talk about headroom. This is where a lot of people get it backwards. They think the answer is to just turn the rack down at the end. But if the rack is unbalanced, turning it down doesn't fix the problem. It just makes an unbalanced sound quieter. Instead, trim the chains before the output. Lower the sub chain if it is overpowering the mids. Ease off the saturator if it is making the sound feel thick, but unclear. Tighten the release if the notes are hanging over each other. Cut some mud around 200 to 400 HC if the sound is getting cloudy. And to make sure the texture layer is high-passed enough to stay out of the low end, that's how you preserve headroom while keeping the sound powerful. A good practical target while you're building is to leave the master around minus 6 dB peak before mastering. That gives you room to arrange, automate, and add other elements without the mix immediately choking. Now add some sidechain behavior if the groove needs it. Use compressor or glue compressor in a subtle way to duck the bass from the kick or drum bus. For jungle and roller feels, you usually want the ducking to be musical, not over-the-top pumpy. 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction is often enough. Fast attack, medium release, and then adjust by ear until the bass returns in time with the groove. If the rack includes a chopped break, you may not need heavy sidechain at all. Sometimes a tiny bit of ducking plus smart arrangement is enough to keep everything breathing. And remember, if the rack contains both bass and break texture, sidechain helps the drums stay readable while the part still feels alive. Now we move from sound design into arrangement awareness. This part is important because the rack should not just sound good in isolation. It has to perform in the track. Automate the filter cutoff into the drop. Bring in more texture in the second half of a 16-bar section. Pull the drive back for breakdowns and push it forward on the drop. Narrow the width in the intro, then open it slightly in call and response moments. Shorten the release for busy 16th note bass phrases, and let it breathe a little more in slower, legato sections. For example, you might have a clean DJ-friendly intro with filtered texture and light sub hints. Then a first drop with restrained drive and a clean low end. Then a switch up with more break texture and a slightly more open filter. Then a second drop with more intensity and a bit more harmonic weight. That kind of progression is classic jungle movement. It keeps the ear engaged without forcing you to constantly add new sounds. Before you finish, do a mono check. Use utility to collapse the width and listen carefully. Make sure the sub still feels solid. Make sure the kick still punches through. If the kick loses impact, your rack is probably too wide or too dense in the low mids. If the break loses snap, you may be masking the transients with too much saturation or compression. If the sub disappears in mono, the low end is not clean enough yet. This is not just a technical check. In DNB, mono compatibility is a club translation issue. If it falls apart in mono, it can fall apart on systems that matter. A few common mistakes to watch for. 1. Making every chain full range. Don't do that. Let the sub own the bottom and high pass the mid and texture layers. 2. Using too much saturation too early. Saturation is great, but only when the signal is already balanced. 3. Leaving the sub stereo. Keep it mono. 4. Letting release tails get too long. Fast DNB needs tight phrasing. 5. Trying to fix everything by making it louder. Clean the balance first. 6. Flattening break transients. If there's a break in the rack, protect the front edge. And 7. Only checking the rack in solo. Always test it with the kick, hats, and bass together. Here's a useful pro move. If you want a more aggressive version, create two states of the same rack, one cleaner, one ruder. Use the cleaner version for intros or verses, and the nastier version for drops and fills. That way you can keep the arrangement moving without rebuilding the sound every time. Another good trick is to resample the cleaned rack once it feels right. Print 8 or 16 bars, then chop the audio and rearrange it. That's a very classic jungle workflow, and it often turns a controlled sound into a much stronger phrase. So to recap the core idea, split the rack into sub, mid, and texture. Keep the sub mono and short. Use the mid layer for character and movement. Use the texture layer for grit and rhythm, not loudness. Control everything with macros. Manage headroom before the master gets involved, and always check the full arrangement, not just the solid sound. If you do this right, your jungle and DNB bass parts will hit harder, leave more space for the drums, and stay flexible enough to evolve through the whole tune. Now go build that rack, keep it clean, and let the vibe slam without eating your mix.